This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
Welcome to the program. As it says, this is a program that deals with whatever we damn well please. And today we're going to deal, I think, almost exclusively with a huge backlog that we have amassed of smaller news stories and current events items that are just piling up. We have to address them at some point. I think we have to address them at some point, so today we're going to do that. I should mention also that next week we're going to have a very special guest, editor Christina Borgeson. She's the editor of the book Into the Buzzsaw, Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press, which is a fantastic book. It's 18 authors, investigative journalists, contributed their bits, their essays for this compilation. And I can guarantee you this will be a most interesting talk. It will also coincide next week with the 7th anniversary of the shooting down of TWA Flight 800. And yes, I say shooting down because a reasonable person after examining the evidence would have to conclude that that's what happened. I know that's not the official viewpoint, but well, stay tuned for that next week. Christina Borgeson was covering that story for CBS News and felt that the evidence was suggesting very strongly that the missile was the cause of this aviation disaster. CBS decided that's not the direction they wanted to look. It's a compelling story. We'll get into it next week. All right, I have a huge bunch of sources we're going to go to today. The Week Magazine, Harper's Magazine, Science and Invention Magazine, The Onion, Discover Magazine, The Sacramento News and Review, Vanity Fair, Esquire, The Sacramento Bee, Science News. My God. Anyway, where to begin? I think I'll begin with this, a quote, Wit and Wisdom section from The Week Magazine, from the irrepressible Groucho Marx, who stated, "Those are my principles. If you don't like them, I have others." And a quote right below it, which I think summarizes this radio show, I think better than any other one I've seen in a long time, which is as follows. This is a quote from Samuel Butler, who was cited recently in the Christian Science Monitor. This is an old classic. Quote, "Life is like playing a violin solo in public and learning the instrument as one goes along." We might add that Radio Parallax is like playing a violin solo in public and learning the instrument as one goes along. But I'm satisfied with the tune that we're playing. Hopefully you are too. Now, I don't know the source of the following quote. It was some Englishman, I believe. Some Englishman who was a journalist, I think a newspaper owner, who stated somewhere along the line that the news consists of telling people that Lord Jones is dead, when most people weren't aware of the fact that Lord Jones was alive. Let me segue from that to the recently surfaced item that Jimmy Kimmel, who appears on The Man Show and other various venues, I think it was mentioned last week by Barbara Dixon of the Museum of Television and Radio that Jimmy Kimmel and Tom Green were hanging around the museum looking at some old tapes. I would imagine stealing some old material. But anyway, Jimmy Kimmel, a man with whom I appeared briefly on national television on my one appearance on Win Ben Stein's Money. And yes, I did win some of Ben's money. But if it hadn't been for Jimmy reading the question in a way that he did, I probably would have won more of Ben Stein's money. But anyway, it surfaced recently that Jimmy is getting a divorce, which in the similar fashion of not knowing that Lord Jones was alive, I had to ask, Jimmy Kimmel's married? I guess he is, but not for much longer. Another item I pulled out of the Week magazine, which I thought was definitely worth going over. Heather Graham's rules for dating. Heather Graham, of course, the stunningly beautiful Hollywood actress, has got boyfriend selection down to a science, she said in the British Elle magazine. Following a 10-year dating spree that included actor Kyle MacLachlan, actor James Wood, director Stephen Hopkins, actor Edward Burns, and actor Heath Ledger, she's distilled her experiences into a few simple rules. I didn't like her first rule much, but I liked 2 and 3. Rule number 2, according to Heather Graham, was the best prospective mates endure regular tune-ups with a shrink. You can tell which ones go and which ones don't, because the guys who go are more aware of what they're doing and what they want. I'm not saying everyone needs to go, but I love it. Okay, so if you're thinking about dating Heather Graham, boys, get a shrink and go to him regularly. She said also that you should pay attention to the verbal clues about what the future will bring. Quote, when you go on a first date, listen to what he says. If he says, I'm so into my work, I don't have time for anything else, or I've never been interested in commitment, or I wish I didn't do so many drugs, and it's not what you want, then finish it right there. So again, to you prospective suitors of Ms. Heather Graham, be careful of what you say. All right, another gossip item, which was from the same magazine. Many critics at the Cannes Film Festival called The Brown Bunny one of the worst films in recent memory. But director and star Vincent Gallo is taking his anger out on film critic Roger Ebert. I put an unremovable black magic curse on his prostate, he said, which will enlarge into a cancerous ball. If a fat pig like Roger Ebert doesn't like my movie, then I'm sorry for him. Roger Ebert replied, it is true that I am fat, but one day I will be thin, and Robert Gallo will still be the director of The Brown Bunny. Roger Ebert took a page out of the Churchill playbook on that quote, those of you who know the original. All right, article, Wednesday, July 9th, Sacramento Bee. Another bit of celebrity fisticuffs. Michael Savage, the pit viper of the airwaves, who's managed to make the jump from local right-wing KSFO in San Francisco to a national audience with 200 stations, got fired. He got fired after taking a call from someone here in Yolo County. Bob Foster, a rural Yolo County man who's taken to terrorizing TV and radio talk shows with prank phone calls, called up Michael Savage and apparently got Savage's goat, causing him to lash back in such a way that lost him his job, at least his job on MSNBC. He still is going to appearing on the radio on The Savage Nation, blah, blah, blah. But apparently it went down like this. Foster called him up and was sort of talking about some flight he took from New York and made the remark that I need to suggest that Don and Mike take something from him, which apparently was inaudible, because your teeth are real bad. Savage apparently was fuming at the remark about his teeth and came back with, oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that? Why don't you see if you can sue me, you pig? You got nothing better than to pull me down, you piece of garbage? You got nothing to do today? Go eat a sausage and choke on it. Get trichinosis. Savage went on to ask to speak to a caller who didn't have a nice night in the bathhouse, who's angry at me today. These bums mean nothing to me. Afterwards, MSNBC spokesman Jeremy Gaines said that Savage was fired immediately after the broadcast. Quote, in reaction to a hostile caller, Savage made an extremely inappropriate comment. Gaines says, the decision to cancel the program, Savage Nation, was not difficult. I say good riddance. Unfortunately, he's still heard in 200 markets, and I think taking him off MSNBC is not gonna stop the Savage Nation. But I know a friend of mine lived right next to Michael Savage and said he's as nice in person as he is on the radio. Let's put it that way. All right, I think we're going to do celebrity stuff for a while here. Jason Alexander, actor from the old Seinfeld show, was acting as a pitchman for KFC. I'm sure if you watch any television, you saw his face on the tube. Well, he's parted company with Kentucky Fried Chicken, apparently over his issues over how the chickens are being raised and slaughtered. Apparently, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals got to Mr. Alexander and said that, you know, they really need to change their ways over at KFC. And we've talked about this issue with Dr. Whitney Lehman on this show before. And I guess, Jason Alexander decided that he didn't want any part of KFC, even though they were paying him, I'm sure, a princely sum for his advertisements. Well, good for Jason Alexander. An item related to celebrities that I have a hard time believing, but the evidence is here. Apparently, Linda Lovelace, the late porn star who was famous as the protagonist in the film Deep Throat, passed away some years ago. They're going to now make a rock musical based upon her life. It's being produced by one of the members of the Go-Go's, Charlotte Caffey. According to Billboard.com, Ms. Caffey and rocker Anna Waronker are writing songs, ranging from delicate ballads to big production numbers. The musical previews this month at the Theater of Note in Los Angeles. We'll see if we can get our Hollywood correspondent to inform us how that's going down. If you were in London right now, you'd be able to enjoy the Royal National Theatre's production of Jerry Springer, the opera. Have you heard about this? Apparently, yes. Jerry Springer, the opera, is packing them in and getting good reviews. You know, it's done in the Jerry Springer style. Starts out with a man who cheats on his wife and mistress with a transvestite, a tap-dancing Ku Klux Klansman, and by Act Two, you've got Springer in hell, where he's forced to moderate a showdown between God and the devil. Sounds like good opera fare to me. But like everything else, I guess it's in the execution. And coming to Broadway this year might be the play Is He Dead, written in 1898 by Mark Twain when he was living in Vienna. Twain is not noted as being a playwright. He apparently wrote a couple plays that are pretty dreadful. But noted Mark Twain scholar Shelley Fisher Fishkin took a look at this one and said, this one's pretty good. She's shown it to some people, Broadway producer Bob Boyett. He thought it was pretty good. They're going to stage it. Stay tuned for that. You know, the Harper's Index is almost always good for a few items. Let's see. This one's from April. It's been sitting around for a few months. All right. A little statistical factoids. Amount by which total U.S. personal debt in 2002 exceeded total disposable income, $628 billion. My. Number of states in which Walmart is the largest employer, 21. Chance that a network television advertisement is paid for by one of the 100 largest U.S. corporations, 3 in 4. Year in which Detroit presented Saddam Hussein with the key to the city, 1980, and I'm sure they're proud of that one. Now, a few months back, we read to you the Esquire magazine's Dubious Achievements of the Year, which is, you know, I think always good for a howl or two. I'm somewhat surprised to see that the July issue of Esquire has Dubious Achievements of Science 2003. I don't know what motivated them to take the first 6 months of 2003 and give some Dubious Achievements awards, but I'm glad they did. Here are my favorites. Analyzing databases covering 66 million Americans in a series of studies, psychology researchers concluded that people unconsciously choose to live in places that resemble their own first or last names, e.g., people named Lewis are disproportionately likely to live in St. Louis. I think we should run that one past a statistician. It's not that I don't trust psychologists as researchers. I just have some doubts about this one. Now, Harvard, of course, is a famous institution around the world. According to scientists at Harvard's Rowland Institute, adult carp can tell the difference between a John Lee Hooker song and a Bach oboe concerto. And once they get that nailed down via food rewards, they can categorize other music like Muddy Waters and Mozart as blues or classical. And, you know, jokes should come in threes, so we'll close with the third item out of the Dubious Achievements in Science of 2003. A new breed of genetically engineered fruit flies can be turned from heterosexual to gay and back in minutes by fiddling with the thermostat. At 66 degrees, they're straight. Well, at least for fruit flies. But crank the heat to 86 degrees, and in as little as 2 minutes, they form a guy-guy conga line. Turn it off again, and the fly's innate fashion sense swiftly disappears. This is very curious about whether some protein, some genetically, I don't know, induces gay behavior. Does this perhaps explain the elevated temperature in bathhouses? I don't know. Perhaps someone can direct a call to Michael Savage on that particular issue. And The Onion, of course, is one of our favorite repositories of American humor. The Onion, Volume 39, Issue 21. Headline, Bush visits USS Truman for dramatic veterans benefits cutting ceremony. Quote, Your brave and selfless service to your country will not soon be forgotten, said President Bush. At least, not for another 5 or 10 years. After congratulating the soldiers on their victory over Saddam Hussein, Bush announced the new budget passed by the Senate includes a $14.6 billion reduction in veterans benefits. That's actually a true story. My favorite, though, of The Onion was they have a picture of a guy up in the corner, a coin. It says on it, U.S. Mint employee disciplined for putting own face on nickels. And on the coin in question, instead of having Thomas Jefferson, you've got a guy looking remarkably like Sam Kinison. Did you see this item? Habitat for Humanity is building exact replicas of the world's worst slums as a tourist attraction. Essentially, it's a theme park for poverty housing, said Habitat founder Millard Fuller. You'll see the kind of pitiful living conditions so many people in the world have. Guests of the Global Village and Discover Center in Americus, Georgia, will be able to engage in brick and tile making as well as other fun activities. Mr. Fuller apparently expects 70,000 visitors in his first year. Hey, you might just want to rethink that trip to Disney World. Put the kids to work mixing straw and clay to make adobe. That was from the Only in America section of the Week magazine. Here's two more I think we should close this segment with today. A Shawnee, Kansas high school is investigating a biology teacher's decision to show his class Inherit the Wind. The film concerns the 1925 Scopes monkey trial in which a teacher was accused of teaching evolution. It's intentional bigotry against Christians, said parent Selty Johnson, who filed a complaint with the school. It's 98% pure Hollywood fabrication. A school panel will rule on the parent's grievance. And my favorite, a federal appeals court heard the argument from Deshaun Odom's attorney that his client didn't commit an armed robbery because while robbing the bank, Odom kept his weapon tucked into his waistband instead of brandishing it at bank employees. Apparently, the federal appeals court overturned a Los Angeles man's armed robbery conviction, and the court ordered that Odom be resentenced on lesser charges. I have to agree with the title of that section, Only in America. Anyway, let's take a break. We're going to come back with some fun stuff in our second segment today. I'm Douglas Everett. This is Radio Parallax, and you are listening to KDVS 90.3 FM.
Serious strife. Now you make the scene all day, but tomorrow they'll be held to.